Today we would like to consider the purpose of the gospel. As we have went through this What is a Primitive Baptist series, we have seen from the Word of God that salvation is by grace alone and by God alone. It's unconditional on the part of man. It's not an open-ended transaction that man has the opportunity to opt in to eternal life and opt into heaven. Instead, Jesus Christ completed all the requirements of salvation on the cross and fully finished that work. And the Holy Spirit applies that work to the heart of God's children immediately, not based on any intermediary means and not through the gospel. So, with that being the case, what is the purpose of the gospel? That's a very common question that we receive as Primitive Baptists that believe in salvation by the sovereign grace of God. If you believe that man's actions and man's belief and man's works have nothing to do with eternal salvation, why do you preach the gospel? Well, the reason why we do is because it's good news, and God's children need to be informed about the good news of what God has done for them. The New Testament word that we get gospel from is the base word for evangelism, and it simply means to preach or to bring good news. It gives the idea of a eulogy, and a eulogy is speaking a commendation of the good qualities of a person, typically at a funeral, and those are based upon actions that they have already performed. So a eulogy, a good news declaration, is based on something that is already completed. For it to be good news, actions and events have to have already occurred for news to be reported. So therefore, the gospel is not a pending transaction that man has to complete and validate to earn eternal life. No, the gospel is simply a declaration of the news of the gospel of the finished work of Jesus Christ that's already been completed. Those who are called to preach in Isaiah 52 and verse 7 are said to publish peace, to bring good tidings of good, to publish salvation. You see, we're simply publishers. We're simply announcers of what has already occurred, not imploring people to make a decision to change their eternal state. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1 describes the gospel as a declaration. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I've preached unto you. And what is that declaration? Declaration is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It continues on in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So what's the gospel? It is a declaration of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not a terrifying message. It's not a turn or burn message. If you don't do this, God is going to send you to hell. No, the true gospel is the exact opposite of that. The true gospel delivers comfort to God's people. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, her iniquity is pardoned, and she hath received the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Remember, the gospel is a declaration. It's a news proclamation. It's a news announcement and publication. And what does that proclamation say? It doesn't say that you need to perform an action to be saved to heaven. No, I have the privilege of delivering a message of comfort that tells God's people that your warfare is accomplished. Notice that language in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Their warfare is accomplished. It's not pending, it's done. Her iniquity is pardoned, and she hath received the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. You see, it's a finished work. Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1 describes the preaching ministry of Jesus Christ and then also is indicative of the New Testament gospel ministry and gives a command to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. It is simply proclaiming liberty. It's not a judicial judgment that gives them liberty. No, we consider that in our topics on justification. We're justified and declared righteous before God by the blood of Jesus Christ and by grace alone. But instead, the gospel informs those that have been justified by grace and been justified by blood. It informs those people that are in captivity to the bondage of their sin. It proclaims what? It proclaims liberty, right? It proclaims freedom to those that feel to be bound in the prison of the bondage of their sin. In John chapter 8 and verse verse 32, Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth of the gospel provides a liberty and a freedom and a deliverance from bondage and a deliverance from captivity and a prison of sin for God's people. That's why we preach the gospel, not to implore man to make a decision to change his eternal state, but to notify them your state, your eternal state is secure in the work and person of Jesus Christ. And if you believe this gospel, if you believe this message, that truth will make you free. If you feel in captivity, it will make you feel at liberty by this proclamation. If you feel to be in prison by the bondage of sin, it will open the doors of that prison and allow you to experience the comfort and the peace that your warfare is accomplished and your iniquity is pardoned. And we've been saved by the work of Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel does not offer life. The gospel does not give life. Instead, the gospel gives light. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, we are told we're saved by grace alone and not by works. But then that message continues into verse 10. But now that salvation that is secure and finished by Jesus Christ, and that's by grace alone, it's not by anything that we do. But now in verse 10, that fact of eternal salvation in Jesus Christ is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel does not offer life. The gospel gives light. And what does light provide? Light provides illumination. It provides vision. It provides clarity. Now, does light create anything? No, of course not. Light only illuminates and reveals what's already there. When you turn on the light in a room, if you have furniture in that room, that light did not create that furniture. Instead, it removed the darkness. It removed the limitation of vision that you have to see what's in that room. And that's what the gospel does. The gospel brings to light the life and immortality that we already have through Jesus Christ. That's what the light switch of the gospel does. It illuminates. It gives us clarity of vision, whereas previously we were in darkness. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There are some people in this verse that are lost. Now, those people are not lost and they're going to hell. No, those people that are lost, Satan has blinded their minds. Now, does Satan have to blind the minds of the unregenerate that are dead in trespasses and in sin? No, there's no need to blind someone that's dead. They can't see anyway. Instead, those that have the gospel hidden from them and that Satan had blinded, those are people that have the ability to believe the gospel. And if you have the ability to believe the gospel, you are already a born-again child of God. But notice, what does the gospel do? Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. It would provide a glorious vision for them to take them from darkness into light. That's what Paul said his commission to preach the gospel was, as he was relaying that in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. He says, "My desire in preaching the gospel is to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that you're sanctified by faith that is in me." Paul had no desire, because he knew he had no ability to do this. He had no desire to change someone from death unto life. But what Paul did seek, though, is to change God's children from darkness to light. Those that have had the God of this world that have blinded them and they don't see the finished work of Jesus Christ and salvation by grace alone with the clarity of vision that they ought to, they're sitting in darkness and they're living in darkness. And I want to turn on the light switch of the gospel to bring the life and immortality that they already have in Jesus Christ to light in their vision. And then they can experience that comfort and peace and liberty and freedom that the gospel provides for the child of God. And the gospel delivers God's children. It saves God's children. not from hell to heaven, but from darkness to light, from ignorance to knowledge, from bondage to liberty, from fear to comfort. There's salvation in the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That word power in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 is the base root word that we get the word dynamite from. There is something that is powerful and dynamite and explosive for the child of God in their life when they hear the message that brings to light the life and immortality that has been secured by the work of Jesus Christ. Notice verse 17 there in Romans chapter 1. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That's what light does, doesn't it? It reveals something. Now, what that verse does not say is that righteousness is being offered to the one who believes. No, righteousness is revealed by the gospel. It is brought to light. It's manifest. It's brought to a clarity of vision. And notice, the just shall live by faith. There is an indwelling nature of God that's imparted in the heart of the child of God of faith. But then there's a difference between the vital indwelling faith and then active faith of us exhibiting that faith and believing the Lord and the gospel. Now, notice, faith here is not how we get life. Faith is how we live life. The just, those that are just in Jesus Christ, the just shall live by faith. And an active expression of faith, active faith, is exhibited in belief. So it's important to understand that the gospel reveals righteousness. It reveals and illuminates the righteous state we already have through Jesus Christ. But also, faith is not how we gain eternal life. Faith is how we live life. The just shall live by faith. I think one of the biggest stumbling blocks that the majority of Christianity has is that there is a confusion in the causes and then the evidences of eternal salvation. Now, belief and faith are not the means by which one is saved from hell to heaven. Instead, belief and faith is an evidence that one is already saved. In other words, the conditions that are typically placed upon man to be saved to heaven in Christianity are not the causes of eternal salvation. Instead, the scriptures teach that those things, belief, acceptance, baptism, a lifetime of good works, those are not the causes of salvation. Those are the evidences of salvation. I don't have time to drown you in all the scriptures that teach this, but let's just highlight a few of them for just a minute. All those that believe on Jesus Christ already are in current possession of eternal life. John chapter 3 and verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. That word hath in your King James Bible is a present possessive term that means they are already in current possession of eternal life. So the Bible does not teach that you believe to gain eternal life. The Bible teaches that you believe because you are already in current present possession of eternal life. You see, belief is an evidence of eternal salvation, not the cause of it. John chapter 5, verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He's in current possession of everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He is already passed from death unto life. He has already been born again. Now remember, faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And that means that one has to have already been born again to have faith. So if you exhibit faith, that's evidence that you are already born again. Remember, faith is not for getting life. Faith is for living life. The just shall live by faith. 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ will be born again? No. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. They are already born again. And then also in verse 10 of 1 John chapter 5, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. The witness of the Holy Spirit is already in him. Then in verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It's also very important to understand that the gospel, the word of God, is written to people who who are already in the church. It's written to children of God. It's written to people who already believe. But notice he says in verse 13, I'm writing unto you because you already believe. But why am I writing? That you may know that you have eternal life, that you would have assurance. People ask me if I believe in salvation by sovereign grace alone and that Jesus has finished the work of salvation, why do we preach the gospel? Well, I'll tell you why I preach the gospel. So God's children will know that they have eternal life. So God's children will have assurance that gives them peace and comfort and liberty and freedom here in this life, that they feel the powerful dynamite salvation, that knowing that they are righteous in the sight of God by nothing more than the finished work of Jesus Christ. That declaration and that revelation and that light of the gospel is what God's children need here in this world, to have them know that they are God's children. We preach the gospel not to make them God's children and to get them eternal life, but for those that already believe that they may know that they have eternal life, to give God's children assurance. And there are so many more verses in the New Testament that teach that as well. Belief is not the cause of eternal salvation. Belief is the evidence that one has already been born again. So as we said, why do we preach the gospel? Even though we believe that salvation is solely by God's sovereign grace and Jesus finished every requirement of the work of salvation, why do we preach the gospel? Well, for the benefit of the child of God. It's good news. It's peace, joy, comfort, freedom, liberty, light, healing, edification, assurance, and salvation, powerful, dynamite salvation for the children of God. But we also want them to be informed so that they can glorify the Lord for what he's done for them. That's why God chose out a people in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. He elected them, he predestinated them, he saved them. Why? To the praise of the glory of his grace. So you see, the more knowledge that we have of what God has done for us, the more we can praise and glorify him for his grace. We don't praise and glorify him that, Lord, I sure am glad you gave me the opportunity to believe, and I did, and I sure am glad that I'm going to get to live in heaven because I did what I was supposed to do and believe in the gospel. No, God chose out a people to the praise and the glory of not your belief, not to the praise and the glory of your works, to the praise and the glory of his grace. And we hear the message of salvation by God's grace alone. The only thing we can do is glorify God for his grace. And we want to preach that gospel. We want to inform God's people of what he has done for them. Now, will all of God's children hear and believe the gospel? Now, I believe that the gospel, as it's presented in the New Testament, is the doctrine of salvation by God's sovereign grace alone. The Apostle Paul was very adamant that if you add any works in that it's not a gospel. And if any man preaches a gospel, any other gospel, then salvation by grace alone, let that man be accursed. So, first of all, we have to define what the gospel is. And I believe the gospel is not a message that tells you you have to do something to be saved. I don't believe that's good news to the child of God. I'm thankful that there are people out there that have a desire to preach the gospel, to have a zeal of God, but maybe not according to the knowledge that they need in the gospel. And I am thankful that they have a desire to tell other people about Christ. But if that gospel produces anything but comfort, peace, joy, and liberty and freedom for the child of God, then that is not the gospel, okay? Now, all things considered, I would rather a child of God hear a works salvation gospel than to have never heard the name of Jesus Christ. But do I believe that the New Testament supports that a message that says you have to do something to be saved to heaven? Is that the gospel? I don't believe the scripture supports that it is. And I think the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit would agree with that. Go read Galatians chapter 1 and see if you think the Apostle Paul thought it really didn't matter what gospel you preached. He says, if anybody comes up preaching anything other than what I told you, which is salvation by grace alone, you let that man be accursed. If they come preaching another gospel, which he clarifies is not another gospel. So therefore, I'm going to define the gospel as the declaration of the good news of salvation by God's sovereign grace alone. Now, is every child of God going to hear and believe that gospel? The scriptures won't support that. Because even if God's children might hear the name of Jesus Christ and believe, the majority of people who are preaching out in the unevangelized world are not preaching a gospel of grace. They're preaching a gospel of works. And I don't believe that meets the biblical definition of the gospel. Furthermore, God's family is a great multitude which no man can number out of all nations, kindred, people, and tongues. There are God's people out of every single nation and kindred and tongue that's ever been on this earth. And Old Testament Gentile nations, certainly they had no ability to believe the gospel. Not to mention, you can't even really believe the true gospel as we know it today until after Jesus Christ had died on the cross. So Old Testament saints don't even have the ability to believe the gospel, let alone all those Gentile nations that are come and gone and died out, having never heard any inkling of that, but yet God has a people out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. It's very obvious that an infant in the womb can't hear and believe the gospel, but yet John the Baptist was born again in his mother's womb as he leaped for joy in his mother's womb. Jeremiah exhibited the fruit of the Spirit when he was in the womb of his mother. They don't have the ability to hear and believe the gospel. Romans chapter 11 and verse 28 describes some people that as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. There were some Jews that were not converted to the gospel truth, that Jesus was the Messiah and salvation by grace alone in the manner that they ought to. They were actually still very antagonistic toward the church. They were enemies for your sake. But the Holy Spirit tells us, as touching the election, as touching God's choice of a people before the foundation of the world, no, they're beloved. They're among God's people that were chosen out of every nation, kindred, people, and tongue. In the Old Testament, we also have some indications that there were some people in Gentile nations that could have believed if they heard the gospel, but they never did. It never made its way to them. So the scriptures just simply will not support that all of God's children will hear and believe the gospel. Now, it's important to understand that all of God's children will be born again, and there's a degree of knowledge and understanding they will have in the heart, even if that knowledge never makes its way to their head. Because in Hebrews chapter 8, we're told that God will born his people again, and we will not have to go from door to door saying, "Know the Lord," because they shall all know me from the least to the greatest. Now, what is that knowledge? That knowledge is certainly not an understanding of the finished work of Jesus Christ, and they'll believe that and confess that. That knowledge of the Lord is an Abba Father, new birth knowledge, not a evangelized gospel of Jesus Christ knowledge. So there's a sense in which all of God's children know the Lord, and all of God's children have some degree of understanding of who God is down in their heart. But there are many of God's children that their mind and their ears will never catch up with what God has already written in their heart. Furthermore, there are other people that are in a different circumstance. It's not that they don't hear and believe. There's some that believe, but they get deceived and they fall away. What about those? Do you have to maintain a continuous state of belief to really be saved or to really validate that you're really a child of God? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul is dealing with some people that have been deceived by false doctrine and they had had their faith overthrown. And Paul's conclusion in that is, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." And then going back to verse 13 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." Even if our faith is overthrown, that doesn't mean that we never had faith. Instead, a child of God, unfortunately, his faith can be overthrown. It ought not be, but it happens here in this world. But if a child of God's faith is overthrown, if we believe not, does that mean he never was a child of God? Does that mean he lost his eternal salvation? Just look at the clear teaching of the Bible. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Now, as we conclude today, does the declaration of the finished work of Jesus Christ and salvation by grace alone, does that resonate with your heart? Then that does not mean that you need to make a decision. You're teetering on the edge of hell and you have to jump across to the other side by prayer, belief, or baptism and be saved to heaven. No, that is evidence that you are already a child of God. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. If this message is foolishness to you, then I'm not talking to you, but unto you which are saved, it is the power of God. Does this message resonate with your heart today? If it does, that's evidence that you are already saved. But if you have not taken up your cross and followed Jesus Christ, if you have not professed Jesus Christ in a public way and confessed him and made a commitment to serve him as the Lord of your life, then we would invite you to come to a Primitive Baptist church in your community and profess a belief in the good news of the declaration of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the good news of salvation by grace alone. Go find a primitive Baptist church and tell them that you believe in salvation by God's grace alone and join the church and serve the Lord faithfully in that congregation. That's not how you get saved to heaven. I have no fear at night that if someone hears this message and doesn't respond, then they will end up going to hell. No, God's salvation is secure and finished in Jesus Christ. But I just want to tell you about that good news to give you joy, peace, comfort, freedom, liberty, because the truth will make you free. And I hope the truth of salvation by grace alone will give you freedom and light and clarity and vision and comfort here today. Unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. If you're saved today, I hope that message is powerful and dynamite and explosive in your life, and you can feel the deliverance and the peace and the salvation that we have in trusting solely in Jesus Christ as our only hope of eternal salvation. And that's the message of the gospel that the scriptures present unto us, that we can glorify the Lord for his finished work of salvation. May God bless you with freedom and the truth of the gospel today.